Min campus al ihor. Miaj Karsten Schwinek. Għakum għal program iħor id-disa wieħed fit-tieni sensiela ta' minn Campus għal ieħor hawnhekk fuq Campus FM, il-programm dejjem nistema' hemm f'din is-skeda u dejjem ukoll is-sensiela kollha anke taqbilha hemm anke oħrajn illi dan l-aħħar ipproduċej tal-Campus FM qed inkollha fuq is-sit tal-programm aċċessibbli hemm u wieħed jista' jkun jiżilhom u jismagħhom bil-kwiet. Hemm il-mistiedna tal-lum hemm id-dur tiggravi ta' mad-dinja tal-universitajiet kif tafu f'din is-sensiela għandna mistednin illi huma ħanajtek ruhom u ġisimhom il-karriera tagħhom fid-dinja tal-universitajiet, oħrajn illi missu magħha d-dinja tal-università, però jagħmlu affarijiet anki oħrajn forsi fid-dinja tal-prattika privata, fid-dinja kreattiva, riċerka u edukazzjoni li jmorru anke lilin mill-prassi ħanajdu hekk tat-tagħlim u tar-riċerka universitarja. Qed ngħid għal Davinia Galia kollega antika, issa tiegħi u ħabiba wkoll, ħanisimgħu dwar traġitt tagħha fid-dinja performattiva, kreattiva, ta' manager anke ta' politika, kulturali, u għalhekk anki tistgħu tifhmu għalfejja persuna li ħedimt magħha minn viċin. Fil-modi għaliex it-tnejn li aħna niġu minn dik id-dinja, illum il-ġurnata hija direttriċi ta' ARC Research and Consultancy. Fil-faġġi li nsemmiha jienu nintroduċi din is-sensiela għaliex hija mexxiet il-proġett medinea illi jipprovdilna l-mużika għal din is-sensiela u anke ta' qabilha fil-verità. Fej kollaborat ma' numru ta' nies fil-proġett ta' inkubatur mediterranju għal mużiċisti, kompożituri, managers kulturali li huma emerġenti fid-dinja Ewropea u Mediterranja. Fil-fatt dan il-proġett reċenti li għadu għaddej iġib flimkien tant nies li matul is-snin Davini ħadmet magħhom illi b'xi mod jisu jagħti toma tajba. U anke lil ngħid jipprovdilna l-mużika ta' dawn it-tip ta' kollaborazzjonijiet kemm fin-naħa ta' fuq tal-Mediterran kif ukoll in-naħa t'isfel u n-naħa tal-Lvant. Xi ħaġa ħafifa fuq Davini qabel ma nidħlu għall-intervista. Prattikament għandi iktar minn 30 sena esperjenza f'ruoli differenti, ħanisimgħu kif kienet anki id-doq fil-pubbliku, kif bħal nies oħrajn anki f'din is-sensiela li smajna ħanisimgħu bil-mod il-mod jaddattaw maż-żmien, mal-età, mal-ċirkostanzi ta' madwarhom u anke tad-dinja tax-xogħol għal ruoli oħra, anki ħanajdu hekk isu wara x-xena fejn jibdew jipproduċu, jibdew jaħdmu fuq proġetti differenti, jieħdu anke ruoli forsi ta' tmexxija u fil-fatti fil-ħajja professjonali tagħha anke għamlet dawn ir-ruoli. Qabel ma waqfet ARC din il-kumpanija li tkellimna dwarha kienet id-direttriċi eżekuttiva tal-Konsell Malti għall-Kultura l-Arti, kif kien jismu l-Konsell Malti għall-Arti qabel, ma biddel ismu, ma kellux xi tibdiliet strutturali, kienet attiva ħafna fix-xena, kemm tal-immanaġjar, kemm fid-direzzjoni, kif ukoll fil-kitba tal-politika kulturali, partikolarment dik tal-2011. Fis-sens ta' politika kulturali, kienet responsabbli biex twaqqaf il-fond għall-arti f'Malta, dak li huwa magħruf ukoll bħala l-Malta Arts Fund, kienet involuta anki bil-xogħol ta' ħidma ta' pjanar ta' diversi festivals, bħal Malta Arts Festival, dak ta' jazz, il-Notte Bjanka u l-Ana Fest, per eżempju, u dan it-tip ta' xogħol wassal ukoll għal ċertu kollaborazzjoni internazzjonali fostom dak tal network internazzjonali tal-Kunsilli tal-Arti dak li huwa magħruf bħala l-IFAKA, tħejjiet għall-Kapitali Ewropej tal-Kultura dik li nżammet fl-2018 ġewwa l-Belfalletta u anki kollaborazzjoni oħrajn li b'xi mod missu mad-dinja Euro-Mediterranja imma mhux biss anke fuq ismu oħra, mhux biss dawk direttament performattiv ħnedwek tal-stage, imma anke pereżempju dawk tal-Reġjun Ewropew tal-Gastronomija. Jew inkella il-fond ta' skambju ta' artisti Roberto Cimetta. Kif se nisimgħu din id-dinja interessanti ħafna Davinja exxita matul dawn l-aħħar snin u anke da l-aħħar kienet konsulenta għall-Bank Dinji, l-World Bank, fuq kwistjonijiet ta' kreattività u kif nafu wkoll matul żmien il-pandemija Davinja kienet involuta fost ħafna nies oħrajn proprju biex naraw iż-żmien tal-post-pandemija fiex jista' iwassal. Fuq il-livell edukattiv il-BA fil-mużika u l-istorja tal-arti mill-Università ta' Malta kien ġi qabel ma għamlet il-masters fl-arti u l-management kulturali mill-Università ta' Sussex. Kif tafu il-mużika li se nisimgħu matul il-programm apparti dik li ħatażi għal Davinja li interessanti ħafna hija proprju ta' dal-proġett li semmejtilkom Medinea. So welcome back after that brief introduction, which I usually do to introduce my guests as sort of a hook at the beginning in Maltese to just get the ball rolling. We're back at the actual conversation of Min Campus Alihor today. Now we're advancing in the second series, the ninth program, and as you've heard, my guest is Davinja Gallia. Davinja, hello and welcome, and thank you for being with me on the show.
Hi, Carsten, and thanks for asking me.
It's great because this is one of the few programs in the series of Min Campus Alihor I'm managing to do, not only in the studio, but also with the guests in the studio. So maybe our listeners will sort of feel this warmer, more sort of personal, even candid feel and sound to the program. So that's really good. Not only because, obviously, this is radio, but also I think a lot of our conversation today will somehow hover or sort of circle around sound and music and that aspect of our culture. And maybe from the introduction, people who might not know you will sort of start piecing, putting the pieces together. They heard the musical aspect, the sound aspect, the cultural aspect, arts management. But those who know you obviously sort of already can guess what I'm getting at. This series looks at career paths basically. So that is also why sort of we're doing this on Campus FM. We look at academic development, but not only. So the idea of the campus is more of an open interpretation, it's an excuse, it's a springboard. Because many people on the show are also professionals, they're people Maltese or international or really somewhere in between or everywhere in between really. And again, in your case, because of your traveling, just before we started, we were talking about sort of catching up with lost time. And investing again in traveling in Europe, in the Mediterranean. So there's a lot of that, I think, today that we'll be considering and looking at. But maybe to keep things simple, starting off at the beginning. My even working experience with you is very much centered on sort of culture, the arts, management, and the performance aspect. But although I might know myself a little bit maybe from previous conversations we've had, many of our listeners will not. Where did your story sort of start from? The connection with culture and the arts. Was it a matter of family, friends, early travel, school?
Okay. Let me see. Where do I start? Okay. My mother played violin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My father pushed us all to go to music lessons, whatever we wanted. I was extremely lucky because my father bought a Steinway on his travels to Germany when I was 2 years old. So I actually had a Steinway baby grand with the hope of one of his three daughters would play the piano.
Right.
So
which eventually
within that context, yes. I went to piano lessons when I was seven. I'm the eldest of three daughters. And basically I didn't give my other sisters a chance. My second sister started playing the piano, but it was obviously my piano.
Okay, and so you hogged it.
You made it yours. Of course. And then I did well as well. So, you know, it gave me the excuse, I suppose, to say it is mine.
To keep going. You didn't need to sort of...
I didn't need to justify it.
...slash your initials, and you actually sort of made it yours by playing it.
Yeah.
You told us already, Davinia, a little bit about your parents as well there, because I know there's a Scottish connection.
Yes, my father's Scottish, my mother's Maltese.
And there was also quite a bit of travelling, either yours or vicariously through your parents. So
my father was
an international dimension.
My father was a sea captain. If he would be alive today, he'd be about 101, I think, born in 1920. My mother's 14 years younger. I'm going to be 88 this month. So, different. I really was, I think my life became different cultures, but I think the mix of different cultures, who I am fundamentally, you know, a mix of identities.
And I think the sort of ease you have with not only being open to different cultures, but connecting people, and we'll come to that because it's fundamental to what you do. This feeling of sort of being, finding a home almost in different places across borders, across shores, and the image, so in and of himself, but even the image of having a father who's a sea captain is a very romantic one. It's very, is it that way? I'm sure there are also difficulties and challenges.
There are challenges growing up. I mean, you're without your father for many months on end, you know. Sometimes you travel for 9 months, you know. It's difficult. Then we'd love the time when he comes back, when he came back to Malta, and he'd really focus on us, the children, you know, and be with us all the time he could, you know, taking us out and doing so many things. Our summer holidays, we were, I suppose, quite lucky because we'd spend it on his, at the time when we were young, he was on cargo ships because he was in the Navy, then he did Merchant Navy. So we'd be, you know, three little girls running around the whole ship of sailors.
Wow.
Quite different, you know, mainly in the Mediterranean again, and other places, but it was quite a treat. And yes, you go down to the galley and the cook gives you chips, you know, you're the captain's daughter. And you get a lot of, it's kind of, anyway, different way, I suppose, of growing up and different to a lot of my friends, I suppose, at the time.
Because it must have compared very differently.
Yes.
You're not only going a ship which is docked to see whatever there is going on while it's docked, but it's up and about, it's going around.
And Daddy took us, we traveled a lot abroad in our holidays as well, obviously. He was quite, for his, I think, time and who he was, I suppose. He liked sharing different aspects of culture, perhaps without knowing it, you know? But I think it, well, three girls, it rubbed off on us differently, I suppose, because we're different people.
Fair enough. It's interesting because today, even in this program, we'll be speaking also of cultural professionals and how you train, and you lecture as well at the University of Malta, and you've been doing so in various contexts and conferences and seminars. And we speak about sort of this area as a profession. But somehow, maybe your father was part of possibly a generation, or himself, just by himself, practicing this without sort of maybe formally, officially thinking about this type of career, sort of. But he was practicing it.
Well, I suppose even when I wanted to go further, because, I mean, obviously I started as a musician, then I you go into arts management because you have to. Also because, obviously, when I'm 56 today, when I was younger, there weren't the structures that there are today, you know. So you really have to be able to manage yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would call myself a musician rather than an artist, you know, because I don't perform anymore, so I'll forever be a musician, not necessarily an artist.
The music stays with you, yeah, even though maybe it's, you're not
it's a formation, basically.
It's a formation.
Yes. So
Obviously time's passing during this conversation of ours on Min Campus Alihor, I wonder whether following this line of sort of being formed as a musician and somehow probably even shaping the way you look at the world and consider things and relate to others and teams of people from a very young age. Could you take us maybe, not too quickly, even slowly, through the next steps, sort of having realized that you wanted to do more of the playing and working at a keyboard because it also gives you pleasure, however, and possibly getting the right responses as well from people around you. What happened next? What came next?
Oh, many things happened. I can't go through them all.
Yeah,
but,
yes, I think we can have some highlights.
Yeah, though. Yeah. Well, as I said, I was, I suppose, successful. Obviously, we followed the associated board, amongst other, you know, exams in Malta, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. if I can say so. And, well, I did well there, so it kind of pushes you on to take mm-hmm. it further and love what you're doing as well, because obviously success is part of it. Yeah, but then what happened? I got married young, when I was 21, basically. Okay. And I had my children, so like my career was basically stalled, I would mm-hmm. say. I actually stopped for a while, but I continued teaching.
Okay.
So I continued teaching piano. I taught part-time as well, music appreciation in schools. Yeah, that was good. But I just felt I could do more and give more, you know. And I always missed my playing. I wanted to go back to it. So I did. My children grew up a bit. I have three children, so it was quite, you know, mm-hmm. wasn't easy. And I went to university also at a later stage, not when I was young, because the subjects obviously just weren't available, mm-hmm. the, you know, music, anyway. So at a later age, actually in my 30s, I went to university where I did a BA in music and history of art. And that's, I think, where it kind of gave me, I think history of art helped me a lot because it opened my mind as well to just not just the focus on music. I learned about music through different ways. And I think that is something that, I don't know, I'd like to pass on as experience. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily, yes, the focus can come later and will always be there. My focus is not history of art. I'm not an art historian. But that experience, that, you know, fantastic, actually, I have to say, at University of Malta, it gave me a great foundation in academia as well.
Uh-huh.
And pushed me further, I think, at that point in time to... because this happened because obviously I wasn't too young by then. I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. I was also, many things happened in parallel, obviously, so it's difficult to give a chronological.
It's not a sequence, which is very neat, is
yeah,
it?
No,
and this really comes out when you start going back in your own thoughts and memories, trying to give it some form.
And don't ask me about dates either, because I'm not good.
It's happening concurrently. One thing, which now since I've interrupted you anyway, which I wanted to ask you was, in some way, although time has passed, this story is still happening today, especially with women and young women who sort of somehow still face the situation of having to pursue their career, whatever the career is. It could be hard sciences or whatever area, if they want to have kids, raise a family. So with time, certain challenges for young people, but especially girls, it's something which is really clear. It's still there. The challenges are still there. And with the arts, possibly, they become even harder because your sort of future prospects are still very much in the air, even if you're very good at what you're doing.
It's not easy, but I suppose you make a choice, or sometimes if you're lucky, you don't have to make a choice. I think nowadays, there's much more equality, even hopefully, not always, of course. And sometimes it's actually the other way around for men and women too. You have to see, consider everything after mm-hmm. all. I think, what can I say? If I could do it, basically, to go into Korea later and pursue uh-huh. what I have done uh-huh. and even been successful to the point I have been, I think that everyone can do it. And I push other women, actually, to do it. And if anyone wants to get in touch with me or for any, mm-hmm. I don't know, reason or whatever. But what I can say is that you don't have to be from the, it's not a straight line. Life is not a straight line. Mm-hmm. It takes you around. And it's actually the experiences and the differences that come to you make you the person you are. And that's always unique. And this is what I tell my students, you could be brothers, sisters or whatever, but who you meet in life every day, your experiences, obviously your intellectual capabilities come into it as well. But that forms you into the person you are, who is unique to anyone else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So again, my I'd go back to, yes, having a family when I was young, that formed me as well. My travels when I was young, my father, that formed me. I use it in what I do. I suppose, I'm a bit of an idealist, I think. In many ways, I like to be very positive, mm-hmm. but it's all about these experiences
uh-huh.
that help you in a way. I know it sounds a bit cliched, but tries to make the world a better place with kind of, through my music, through my arts management, mm-hmm. My work in cultural policy and anything I've done, mm-hmm. basically, and any negative experiences, because obviously, teaches you as well how not to be. I take it as, okay, this is...
Almost a lesson that...
A lesson, of course,
learned.
So yeah.
Somehow, when you're talking about this, I was thinking, of like the flow of a river and all the bumps, all the maybe even dams that are put up. Somehow they shape you, they form you.
Yeah.
But rather than stopping and having a stagnant pool, you try to learn from them and keep flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Davinia, we're making good progress in this conversation, and I'm really enjoying it. So maybe it's also why time seems to be flying. But let's pause for our first musical pause. And in your case, it's really something which comes naturally, because we're talking about music and influences, and we'll talk about more particular projects you've been involved in. Let's jump the gun a bit, because the first track we'll listen to comes from the project, which also, thanks to you and thanks to your partners, is giving us the musical background to all this series. And the previous one as well, so related to the project Medinea, which gives us this really nice, vibrant Mediterranean sound. Briefly, could you tell us something also, not about the project, but maybe what it means today to hear this music played in different contexts after roughly something like 2 years since when it was actually recorded in Valletta in early 2020?
Has it been 2 years already? Oh my God, yes, COVID. Well, first of all, I'm really proud to be part of this project and everyone who's involved in it, because there are many people, we're just a partner and an enabler in the project, because I mean, it's really about the emerging artists and what they could do and their futures. I really believe in that. And we're just there because of we're able to make it happen for them. Mm-hmm. And that's simply our role. And because we believe in these cultural values, which are so important to me, essentially, and to our partners, of course. Well, let me tell you a bit about the project, per se. Basically, we're part of a network. I've been part of this network for the past 7 years with Festival d'Aix-en-Provence, which is essentially an opera festival and one of the biggest and most famous and oldest festivals in Europe. But besides the, opera, they've managed to I think what Festival d'Aix-en-Provence has managed to do is bring, opera is known as an elitist art form, yes, but in the case of Aix-en-Provence, they are giving something else. They also give the as elite as in, top quality, talking about here. Yes, international names, big names, But they also have other projects, which is basically education, based on educational and based on, location, because they are based in Provence, Aix-en-Provence, which is on the Mediterranean. And that's where we come into it as Malta. Okay. They've managed to set up this, I would say, a wonderful, beautiful, I don't have more words to describe it, but that's what it is, of cultural venues, cultural organizations, universities, but based on music, but because we all have a music expertise, basically, that's what we have in common. And we bring together these young people from across the Mediterranean, and it's so many different formations, so many different cultural backgrounds. Sometimes some young artists of these young people who have never traveled out of their country or out of their region. It's amazing. And they are just so fantastic. I mean, so formed already as professional artists, but they don't have that the dissemination that makes them into an international name or even a local name as such. So we, because of our contacts across this Mediterranean network, we try to bring them out, of where they are. We are really lucky to have with us this Fabrizio Cassol, saxophonist and jazz musician, but so sensitive to cultural differences, which is basically about what the project is. And he mentors them, and he's got a methodology basically of bringing, if you want to call it, a musical dramaturgy, as in a musical, bringing the different contexts and putting it all together and managing to make new music out of it. It's just simply wonderful. So as such, we don't really call it, world music. It's slightly different to that, but it's the sound of what makes up the Mediterranean.
Davini, I think we've really whetted the appetite of our listeners. So let's listen to another track, different from our title track, and come back to how over this melding and molding skills, which one needs in these type of projects. So that was really, really beautiful. Davinia Galia, my guest today on in Campus Alihor, here on Campus FM. We were talking about and then listening to what can be produced when people with different skills. And as you said, not only, for example, academic know-how or technical know-how, but a mix of skills. And you mentioned a particular word, which I particularly like, which is the sensitivity. So I think my next question really would be reflecting on Mendinea, the project, which you have really sort of brought to life through your words and even now through the music. But also maybe with reference to other projects you've been involved in, and there have been so many, both locally in Malta with different hats you've worn, but also as a leading ARC consulting, which is your own current platform for cultural connections and cooperation, and other things you've done. Sort of not to give a recipe, obviously, it would defeat the purpose. But over the years, you must have met so many people and worked in so many different contexts that certain things will stand out, like cultural sensitivity, like this familiarization with different elements. I wonder whether you could sort of give us just a real sort of small glimpse into what you look out for, and also when you meet students, what you feel are those elements in them which come out.
Okay, thanks for asking me this question. I will start off, in fact, with the students. Because I think it's all about nurturing.
Okay.
And not giving to them, but bringing out of them. So even, for example, we have placements. One of my study units is placements in cultural management.
Mm-hmm.
I always ask the students what they are interested in, what they envisage their future to be, where they are at this point now. But and then try to place them, and I help them usually place them accordingly. And yes, I'm quite proud because quite a few of my students have done really well because they love and they're good at what they do. Then they become professionals in their own right, and many have become really competent and responsible, I would say, arts managers with good cultural values.
And that must be a great source of pride, because some of them keep collaborating with you, they become part of fluid and wide teams of people who come and go within the sector, locally and again internationally as well. So it must be a great source of sort of achievement of knowing that you're investing in people, as maybe even other people have invested in you. So it's sort of you take and you pass on.
Yes, I believe in that, and giving opportunities as well. Not necessarily myself, but even if I, see something that fits a person, usually, that fits a person's interest, I try to pass on information and I share. Mm-hmm. I think it's about sharing this,
Yeah, Davinia, we've sort of skipped a bit the timeline, if you will, and there are a few other elements which I wish to ask you about and share with our listeners, because in the development of your career, which, as you said, is not linear, and the same is with many other people, especially in this sector. The cultural aspect, the creative aspect, where you need an element of entrepreneurship as well to try to balance many things and keep a close contact with maybe audiences you've nurtured and developed over the years. And one word which I always associate with you and with people like you in the various roles you've taken is the development of trust. How one is not only giving a service or meeting some person's or some organization's needs and stopping there, but over the years, one has the opportunity to sort of really build solid networks within which to do what one does in an enjoyable and fruitful way. And this applies locally, but also internationally. And I think the Euromed dimension is of particular relevance here. You've also done this, according to my perspective, at least, also taking on different roles. So some of them have been more institutional than others. Some of them have been more public than others. So I wonder whether you could give us an overview of, even keeping in mind maybe students who are listening to this program, that sometimes it's worth taking some risks and sort of maybe even going outside of one's maybe comfort zones, even in your case shifting, you know, from musician, performance, then manager, then moving on to what you called enabler, which I really liked as well. So I don't know, with a bit of hindsight, what would you say sort of about that process, a very bumpy process at times as well?
Well, I think overall, I have a passion for what I do, and I choose projects and work I do because I love and believe in them, and I think that's fundamental, and that I feel I can make a difference with them, you know, as in participation with them. I do feel a bit of going back, maybe, because we jumped along the bumps. Yeah, okay, and there were some big bumps for me anyway. Yeah, what did I do after? I go back to maybe my management of some big, large scale events, of also small scale. And then my time perhaps at the Arts Council, which was obviously fundamental in forming me. And I feel privileged and honored by my role there for, I think 2 years as, arts executive. I nearly forgot what I was. as executive director for 6 years, I was lucky enough to be there at a really important time in history, I suppose. In, I would say, Malta's, I think this is a subject that interests you as well, Carsten, from Malta's independence in 64. We never, in culture, you know, it's taken us a long time to get structures, and you were very much involved together with me and with the Arts Council as, obviously, Valletta, capital of culture. We did a lot of work towards creating, I would say, Malta's first cultural policy, towards creating Malta's first arts fund, you know, with proper criteria, with proper, so many, many things happened at the time. It was so exciting to be part of that. And also, obviously, the European Capital of Culture at the time, which gave so many opportunities. Then, yeah, what happened happened. You know, I left the council at the end of, when was it, 2013? Yeah. And thankfully, as you said, I have a lot of colleagues abroad who believed in me too. It was a difficult time for me. I won't spare you the details, but anyway. And they encouraged me to set up my own, own company. And I did, thankfully. Two persons in particular said, you know, it takes 2 years to apply to EU funding with a company, with whatever kind of company you have, whether it's not-for-profit, for-profit, whatever. But you need 2 years to be able to apply, for example, to Creative Europe funds. And I did so in 2014. I set up my company. Yeah, it was so difficult at the beginning for a year. It was very slow, you know. I went through a hard time. But you also learn through the through those times. And
another formative period.
Yes, yeah. Still, you never stop learning.
In a way, it gives another sort of interpretation to when we say sort of lifelong education or lifelong student.
Yes.
It's really sort of forming oneself all the time.
But it's always, I think, about connections. In fact, this is what ARC is all about, connections and trust. And I think working in culture also, how can I say, I can never, you have to be international. I think that's fundamental, because and your outlook needs to be international, not local. It needs to be always broader, okay? Not necessarily bigger, but broader, I suppose, you know, more open, okay? And it's important to connect to what's happening all around you, the environment around you, to be able to see who and where you are now. And I think that's my big lesson, I suppose, because I always like being aware of what's happening around me. And then obviously I pick and choose according to my competencies, because culture is a very broad subject and it's impossible, even in terms of funding, for example, you can only be know about certain aspects of it because it's so very broad.
It's very broad.
And you cannot be an expert at everything, definitely not. Mm-hmm. But for me, my connections, our networks abroad have been a part of this, again, ongoing formation, I suppose, and who ARC is as well now, the company. We're really quite active, obviously, on Medinea, as I already spoke about, but also with the European Festivals Association. Festivals is one of our, again, important line of work for us. Again, as an enabler, always, because this is who we are. We're not actually creating festivals, but making sure that the structures and the foundations around them, will be able to interact with each other and create, I always say, better futures for each other, because that's what it's about, and for the futures of festivals, and ultimately the artists who perform in them. Yeah. And also, not only the artists, because everyone forgets, it's not about the artists, but the cultural professionals, because it's a whole world, it's a whole, organigram of people, and it affects so many people.
Davinia, in fact, I think in the last 10 minutes of our conversation, I'll turn a little bit to this point, but before that, let's sneak in another piece of music, because we try to keep the tradition of having two tracks. I wonder whether you can help me introduce the second item. So what shall we listen to now?
You're really cruel, Carsten, because as a musician, you've put me in the worst position possible. I love all kinds of music.
And you've just got to choose one.
It's totally impossible, but I have to choose one. Well, I already chose the Medine, of course, and that's new music, so I'll maybe turn to something older and classical as a pianist, I suppose. I'll choose Mozart Piano Concerto number 23. And I would like Mitsuko Uchida, pianist, to the interpretation of it, because obviously, and then it's the interpretation, it's not just the piece of music.
Let's listen to it.
That particular one.
Thank you. So we're back from the second track you chose for us today, Davinia Gaia, my guest on Min Campus Alihor. We're in the last few minutes, but to round off, there's one aspect we talked a lot about today, but to sort of to bring everything to a close, I wonder whether we could connect the policy aspect, which you've worked on in different roles, and somehow even without being officially recognized as a policy maker, as a policy writer, we all implement policy and we also practice policy. But I'd like to connect that to the festivals element, which you spoke about. As we know, maybe even our listeners who sort of have traveled and visited festivals and enjoyed festivals and maybe missed festivals during the peak of the pandemic, many festivals happen in cities. They happen in maybe centro storici, old city centers, town centers, but sometimes they also relaunch, help regenerate and put back on the map maybe other places which have fallen a bit by the wayside. I wonder whether we could sort of say a little bit about even the context of, let's call it post-COVID, hopefully, what you see emerging, even through your experience with the Festivals Association and your familiarity with the aspect. So, locally, yes, but also possibly in the rest of Europe. What sort of do you see happening on the horizon next? We seem to have started depending a lot on digital, but at the same time growing really tired of assisting at events and other manifestations online. Will it just go back to the way it was? Will there be this hybridity we sometimes hear about? Have we discovered maybe or rediscovered values which went a bit missing over the years?
Oh, that's many answers.
It's true, isn't it? For a final question,
okay.
That's quite a bit.
But very interesting because, how can I say, let's put a bit of actually a cultural policy to the practice.
Yes,
yeah, maybe.
The best as well, yes.
I will tell you basically about two things. The something that's coming up and that's going to be announced in Galway in November by the European Festivals Association. It's already around, so it's not a secret.
Mm-hmm. It's worth saying we're recording this in October, so
okay.
We're talking about next month in this case.
Yes, yes, yes.
It will have happened by the time it's
okay.
There. But
so basically, the European Festivals Association are introducing a new initiative called the FSEAL, which is basically what you were just posing as part of your question, putting together the, you know, local authorities with the cities, with the festivals, with the tourism authorities or whatever to become more effective, especially post-COVID, which is basically, it's like the push we need.
Okay.
You know, I can tell you a bit more about it perhaps in, I don't know, later, but
yes,
there's too much to say now.
And the line.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Mm. But put together that with that, again, going back to policy, what European initiatives are happening now, because as we know, the European Union, the EU, does not have a cultural policy per se, because that's obviously left to the member states to
that's
do,
right.
As well as education, I believe.
The
two policies, exactly. But they do have competencies, and they have obviously funding programs
that's right.
Based around thematic activities, one of which is the famous new European Bauhaus, I would say, which I feel, how can I say, I think everyone on the European policy track at the moment is, we're looking for some answers in terms of how it would work, because it's, you know, still a lot of questions at the moment, but it's a very interesting proposal, especially for us in Malta, because it could be the answer to our problems with our environmental issues, which is basically putting together the idea of, you know, the construction industry in a way with artists and designers, and now how that's going to happen with musicians and all of that. But I feel somehow it's going to, or could be, in my abstract mind at the moment, going into what is forms festivals together with cities, together with, you know, and putting the two together. I don't know. It's how I think, and it's just an idea at the moment. But in future, perhaps that could be an important aspect of what could be. I don't know. That's so
bringing in a way things which are relatable. They're not so different as to be really, really so far from one another. But finding ways of building these relationships between even people in different sectors, who sometimes might be very sort of good at what they do within that sector, but not so comfortable and not so easy with sort of crossing a fence and working with others. And I think that's where people like yourself, so the cultural professionals, the enablers, which you mentioned before, manage. So somehow there's a bit of interpretation, a bit of translation, a bit of bringing people together within context.
It's about linking ideas, basically. And I like doing that.
Davinia, we're down to the last couple of minutes. So turning back sort of to the smaller scale, which at the same time, however, as you really described very well during this program, spreads very widely. What do you see for yourself and the sector you operate with within the next few years?
Okay, I was in a conference actually.
The famous show, Dreams in the Drawer, as the Italians call it.
Well, I think there are two aspects of it. I think what you want to do and what things come to you as well. So it's about the environment outside, which I said before, and understanding what that's all about. And I think, as I have spoke in a recent panel, actually 2 weeks ago in Lucerne, basically, what's the future? It's digital, obviously. It's about changing demographics, I think, which is very, very important. You know, there are so many changes that happened also with COVID that you can translate into opportunities. So basically, what we are doing as well in some projects in the pipeline, which we're looking at, is how these changes, for example, can again be positive in regards how we practice our future. I mean, one tangible example I'll give you is going back to Medinea, our latest venture, which will we have to actually wait till 2023 for this actual part of a project to take place, which is the issues of rehearsing online, for example. Okay, in COVID, everybody obviously was restricted to their place. When you are rehearsing with people, for example, from other places, it's not just, you know, going to Valletta to rehearse with the orchestra or whatever, you know, and everyone is kind of 5-10 minutes away, and you just have to stay a distance of 2 meters or whatever. But how do you get across countries? How is it affecting climate change? How can you make this happen in a more efficient way, but that's good, because at the end of the day, it's always important to come together in person. But yes, there could be it could be an aspect of, for example, rehearsing that could be done online. But unfortunately, at the moment, as far as advanced as we say we are, in the digital, in our digital technology, it's not there.
It's, you know,
so we're looking at, for example, solutions for this within our projects, and I know many other people are, of course, and you know, so in some interesting, like, innovations and creativity, always done by a team of people, obviously.
That's, right. that's fundamentally at the base of it.
Yeah.
Davinia, I'm afraid we've run out of time. So thank you very much for sharing the micro pictures sometimes, details and also elements and observations of what we've been living through in terms of cultural policy and so much more over the past few years, and even a glimpse into the future, and also sort of the broad strokes of certain changes, which probably will sort of keep our ear to the ground, even through these conversations, to try to see what comes next. So thank you very much, Davinia, for being with me today.
Thank you, Carsten. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Nittama li l-intervista ma' Davinia Galia illum fil-programm minn Campus Għalieħor. Oġbitkom ħafna esperjenzi li provajna nikkompressaw, isna qed nikkompressaw album tradizzjonali tal-vinyl, ħafna iktar xitajt ovvjament, però għas-semmija tagħna kull interess jista' jiġi segwut mhux biss billi tisimgħu il-programmi u sensi li hemm fuq sita Campus FM anke billi tfittxu direttament fuq il-personaġġi li nintaqgħu magħhom matul dan il-programmi. Nistedinkom ukoll tinaqdu miegħi għal-programm li jmiss fis-sensiela minn Campus Għalieħor. Saħħit.